Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning, May the 7th, 2026, 19 minutes past the hour. Good to have you with us this morning. By the way, it is very cold in the studio this morning for whatever reason. Beautiful weather outside, but 67.8 degrees here in the studio. And, you know, it feels like one of those houses. You know, 67 degrees doesn't sound too cold. But it feels like one of those houses this morning where somebody has not turned on the heat, you know, to knock the chill out of the air. And I think because the weather has been fairly nice in the evening, maybe the heat's not on in the building right now because, as I've said before, I think there's a centrally controlled heat source in this building. So maybe that's what's going on, but it's beautiful and sunny outside, and that's a beautiful thing. And we'll go on down the road this morning. There's a few things I want to talk about in regard to election fallout from Tuesday night, but I want to start the program today talking about somebody who really revolutionized the broadcast industry. Yesterday, right after we went off the air, we learned that Ted Turner, the legendary broadcasting pioneer, I think is what we would have to call him, and philanthropist, died at the age of 87. And Ted really was a philanthropist. I can't remember what he gave to the United Nations. I believe it was $1 billion, billion with a B, which was an absolutely amazing number. And I think that's what a lot of people remember Ted Turner for. But this is a man who started out in the billboard industry back in the 60s and 70s, but went on essentially to create what we all know as cable television. TBS was one of the first stations ever to go up on the satellite and be accessible in other states. You know, TBS was in Georgia, and it was a local station, and Ted Turner wanted to take it national, and people called him nuts. And you know what? By hook or by crook, he got that thing on nationally, and TBS was called the Superstation. And I know he sued the Nielsen company so he could get ratings, so he could sell to advertisers. And then he went on to create TNN and TNT, and he bought movie studios. And maybe one of the most prolific things he ever did was he started CNN, the first cable news network. Now, it's hard to believe with Fox News and MSNBC and CNBC and all these cable news networks we have now. The first one came with Ted Turner in 1980, I believe was the year. And I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but I remember he was doing a press conference and they said, well, when is CNN going to sign on? And it was June something, I think 1980, 1981, somewhere in that area. And somebody said, well, when will it sign off? And I think the reporter was meaning, you know, at night, when will it sign off? Because back then, a lot of television networks did sign off. Or they were trying to be funny and didn't think it would last, because a lot of people didn't think it would last. A matter of fact, they called it chicken noodle news, I believe is what they called it in the beginning. But he said, they asked Ted, well, when's it going to sign off? And I think he said, right after the world ends or explodes or something like that. Ted Turner was a brash guy, and he had a thing, I don't know if it was a plaque or a poster or something that sat on his desk, but basically his mantra was lead, follow, or get out of the way. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. And what an interesting guy he was. Now, he was so popular in the early 1980s, there was a song that was created basically for his TBS station called Ted Turner Cable Cool. Ted Turner Cable Cool. And I thought, in honor of this broadcasting giant, on a station like this morning, we would play this song and maybe bring back some memories, because this was played all over the place. But Ted Turner Cable Cool, remembering the legendary broadcast titan who created CNN, essentially cable television, and a whole lot of other things. Remember the TBS, when everything used to start 5 minutes late? You know, 7:05, 6:05. That's another thing Ted Turner did. He really was a giant in the broadcast industry, revolutionary. But here's the song, Ted Turner Cable Cool, from the 1980s.
When are we ready?
Down in Atlanta, Georgia, there's a legendary dude. In New York, they say he's crazy. In Newport, they call him rude. And to those Bel Air mansions where Cadillacs are towing, he never gets invited, 'cause he's just a good old boy. Though society may shun him, 'cause he won't toe their line. To the people across the country, Teddy Turner's doing fine. He was cable when cable wasn't cool. When he went cable, they called that boy a fool. The experts said it's time he come. Now CNN is number one.
Heck, all I did was jump the gun.
Anybody start a network down where the cotton grows? You gotta be near Broadway or at Sunset and Vine. You gotta be sophisticated to program that prime time. The test says their perspective bogged down in the past, and NBC, CBS, and ABC won't last. Was cable when cable
Turner, Cable Cool, remembering the legendary broadcast icon this morning, who died yesterday at the age of 87. And two more things I was reminded of that Ted Turner did while that song was playing. Remember when he colorized movies? He took old black and white movies and colorized them, which was a huge project back in the 1980s. And, oh my goodness gracious, to see how much makeup was used and what colors people were wearing in these old black and white movies, that was a big deal. And he also created TCM, Turner Classic Movies, which I think he said was one of his greatest projects, because it preserved a lot of these old movies that aren't shown on television very much anymore. So Ted Turner, one of the broadcast pioneers, he was one of a kind. If you ever heard him interviewed anywhere or saw him anywhere, he was something. So we certainly had to pay homage on a broadcast station this morning, as well as everybody should, to the legendary Ted Turner, gone yesterday at the age of 87. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And now, in the vein of Ted Turner, we've got to get to a little ugliness here, because, you know, Ted did things that not everybody would do, or, you know, lead, follow, or get out of the way, I guess is Ted Turner's motto. So, here's one of those moments. And you know, I'm sorry we have to do this again, but, you know, I thought yesterday all the election results came in and people would do their thing and we would go on down the road. As a matter of fact, yesterday we read Ben Weber's acceptance speech or thank you note, which was basically thank you. We all need to come together now and go on into the fall. Very, very nice speech. We read Jason Schaber's on the air yesterday, which was essentially thank you to everybody who helped me, and so on and so forth, and this brings an end to my political career. And these are things you get after elections. And then after we went off the air yesterday, and I'm only going to read this for one purpose, because this was the only message I saw like this yesterday. We've talked about this 86 district race, and we've talked about it being sort of a nasty race. And obviously, Ben Weber won, and significantly, on Tuesday night. And after we went off the air yesterday, I saw Weslyn Davis's basically concession notice on her webpage. Now, let me just read this to you. And you'll understand, because I'm not going to talk a whole lot about this, but basically this goes in to maybe why that race ended the way it did. Here it is. Weslyn Davis's concession speech. This election did not end the way I hoped it would, but I leave this race with clear eyes and a grateful heart. I ran because I believed our communities deserve someone willing to tell the truth, challenge the system, and stand up to powerful people. Over the past 2.5 years, nearly $800,000 in insider money was spent trying to stop me. Attack ads flooded the airwaves and your mailboxes. A lot of things were said about me that simply were not true. But that is what happens when you refuse to play along with the people who think they own the process. I understood the cost of this before I ever entered it. And even today, I would not change the decision to fight. I want to congratulate my opponent on his victory and wish him well moving forward. I hope he serves the district with humility, courage, and deep respect for the hardworking people who call it home. To every volunteer, supporter, friend, and family member who believed in me, thank you. You gave me your time, your energy, your prayers, and your faith to something bigger than politics. I will never forget it. Weslyn Davis. Okay. Now, 90% of that is just fine. 90% of that is normal stuff. But, you know, there's the biggest paragraph in there is the bit about over the past 2.5 years, nearly $800,000 in insider money was spent trying to stop me. Attack ads flooded the airwaves and your mailboxes. A lot of things were said about me that simply were not true. But that is what happens when you refuse to play along with the people who think they own the process. Okay. Well, the day after the election, nobody's happy when they don't win. I mean, I think that goes without saying. Right now, we're already getting a message from one of our listeners out here. Always plays the victim, doesn't she? And you know, I didn't have to say it this morning, but I said it before the election. That's what she tends to do. And let me just say right off the bat here, I think Wesleyan is very motivated. I think Wesleyan's got a lot of drive. I think Wesleyan could probably do great things if she were ever elected to a position. I don't know. But I do know that doing things like that in your concession speech is one of the reasons things don't go the way you want them to go. You know, you did not win 2 years ago because you attacked the state rep who was in that position in regard to things that didn't have to do with politics. It happened again this time, and you lost more votes than you had the previous time. And I don't understand why it's always somebody else's problem. All you had to say was, I thank my volunteers, I thank the people who helped me, it didn't turn out the way we thought, I congratulate Ben Weber, hope he does the best he can do, thank you for everything. That's what everybody else did. Stephen Wolf did that yesterday. So why is it always it's somebody else's problem? You know, I didn't win because they were out to get me. And I don't understand it. It looks bad. Everybody who read that yesterday had the same feeling. You know, when the election's over, the election's over. And if you thought they were out to get you from the beginning, why didn't you tell people that along the way? Hey, I can't possibly win this thing because they're out to get me. It just comes off like sour grapes. The late Phyllis Schlafly told me at the Republican convention in 2016 that when you don't win and immediately you come out and say things like this, it comes off like sour grapes. And she was referring to John Kasich and Marco Rubio, who did not defeat Trump in that primary, and Ted Cruz, and them not complaining. She called it sour grapes. I'll never forget that. And that's just how it comes off. And maybe Wesleyan wasn't trying to sound like sour grapes, but I read that and I thought, you know, the election's over. Thank your supporters. Thank the people who helped you. Wish the community well. Congratulate the winner. But you didn't have to put the paragraph in there about, you know, money's out to get me. Now, was money spent against her? Of course it was. But did she also spend money running attack ads? Of course she did. And did she say things that were untrue or maybe towed the line of untruth? Probably. So, what can you say? I think that proves the point that we've been bringing up here for many, many, many weeks on this show. That's why that race got ugly, and so on and so forth. Now, if anybody has anything they'd like to say, phone lines are open. Boy, already 37 minutes past the hour here. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. And I don't think we've seen the last of her. I think she will probably run for something again. It seems like what she wants to do. I don't think she's going to run for that seat again. But you never know, because I think she's alienated quite a few people. But who knows? Who knows? 740-383-9944. And even beyond her, to be honest with you, I just don't like that. I don't like, it's like losing a baseball game and then the next day coming out and saying, well, you know, everybody was against me. You know, we weren't at home. And we normally play on regular grass, and now we're playing on AstroTurf, so it was going to be an uphill battle. I just don't understand. I just don't understand why you just can't say, hey, you know, I lost. And I ran a tough race. Somebody's got to win and somebody's got to lose. That's how politics works. And I guess we'll see what happens down the line. Again, phone lines are open here this morning. Would love to hear from you. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to give us a buzz if there is anything on your mind. And I think some other fallout from the elections, which we talked about yesterday, are how's Vivek Ramaswamy going to do now? You know, I did get a chance yesterday to hear Amy Acton's acceptance speech Tuesday night as the Democratic candidate for governor. She said some interesting things. Basically, the big line from Amy Acton's speech was, you can't buy us. That kind of was the chant in her speech, you can't buy us. I don't know, honestly, how that's going to go over. I really don't know. You know, I heard her saying it in that speech, but I don't know how well that plays, to be honest with you. Is that something that gets people motivated to vote? You can't buy us. I think, of course, speaking to Vivek Ramaswamy. But, of course, Vivek Ramaswamy has got his own problems in his party, losing almost 18% of the vote on Tuesday. How do you think that's all going to shake out? 740-383-9944. And then we've got the Secretary of State matchup between Russo and Sprague. And we've got the Treasurer's matchup between Edwards and Walsh. I would have to think Edwards is going to be a very tough candidate. I don't think he was thought to win on Tuesday night, and he did. Probably the only establishment candidate not to win on Tuesday, so we'll see how that all shakes out. Ken Stuyvesant, of course, as we said yesterday, will be the new county commissioner, who is also a former county commissioner here in Marion, come the beginning of 2027. So here we are, and the levies failed. Now, the levies failing, I think some people were unhappy about that. Certainly some people who work with those groups, the Marion County Board of Developmental Disabilities and the Adam H. Group, certainly some unhappiness there. Why do you think levies don't pass? Does anybody have a good handle on why that doesn't work? Obviously, people do not want their taxes to go up. I mean, that's not a shocker. But we do like to celebrate these things in the community, these events that these organizations put on. But yet, when it comes time for funding, it does not go very well. Does anybody have a thought on why this is the case? 740-383-9944. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, how are you?
Oh, I'm good. How are you? Cold in here, but okay.
You mentioned the levies, and I just had to weigh in on this because I kept my mouth shut publicly on your show about the levies and let people decide for themselves. But I voted against the DD board levy, and one of my main concerns with them is that you've got director after director out there making six figures. You've got, I went through just five people. You have the actual superintendent, and then you have four directors, and they make almost $700,000 between salaries and benefits. Just five people. So don't tell us that you need more of our money when you are so admin heavy. And then Nikki Workman, she's the communications director out there. This is a direct shot across the bow to her. Her post yesterday on her page and official tagging, she's the director of communications, tagging the page and everything else. She's talking about how the community needs to educate itself and how we're uncaring and how basically we're just cruel. And you know what? That is not going to win you a levy when you go back on the ballot.
She said all that stuff.
Oh, yes. And I have people actually on my page from that's the board president, and they're like, you need to educate yourself. We need to have a conversation. We need to whatever. I'm like, we had a conversation at the ballot box. Maybe you guys need to listen to us and try to restore some trust. Okay, this is what Nikki Workman said. I had a couple of pity parties today. I'm hurt. I'm confused. I'm baffled. I'm mad. I'm all the emotions. How do you have 500 people gather for a Golden Gala event celebrating people in your community with DD and fail with a 60-40 split? How do you speak to so many groups and organizations, have them visit, tell them endless stories and successes? Thanks to all the Marion County, then she tags the Board of Developmental Disabilities and still falls short. I know these families. They don't want to have to use our services. They didn't do anything wrong. They just had a baby, and that baby ended up with a developmental disability. I am honored to hear their struggles, know their frustration, and also celebrate their small wins. The fact that the Marion community feels power in making up a narrative that we at MCBDD are not helping people, we are only paying our administration, we are fiscally irresponsible, it's all excuses, and it's sad. I will not stop fighting. Our families don't ever get to stop fighting, but for the love of all things holy, all caps, educate yourself. I'm not going to say it's a minimal investment, because every penny to every person right now is sacred. I'm going to say that investing in your community is critical to the community's success, and we don't do that in Marion. And it's so incredibly sad because there's so much good. Please, do better. Do better for your neighbors. Do better for your friends. Do better for your community. Pretty nasty, well, don't you think?
Well, it sounds like she's unhappy, and
I understand that they're upset. Now, if you contrast that to what, because Delaware County's levy failed also. Their DD board levy failed also. There were 12 DD board levies on the ballot on Tuesday, and six of them failed. So, you know, I don't want to say they're among good company, but half of all the levies that were on the ballot failed Tuesday night. Delaware County is one of them. Delaware County puts out a release that says, we hear you, we understand, maybe we didn't do a good enough job explaining, we want to be able to keep these services for our families, we're going to reassess our position, and we're going to do better about informing the community. Instead of, do better, educate yourselves. Well, I'm going to tell you this, Nikki Workman, I hope you're listening. You're the communications director. It is your job to communicate the board's needs, all of these things, their levy, why we should pass it. Maybe you didn't do a good enough job at your communication skills. Maybe as the communications director, you didn't communicate to the community well enough why we should pass your levy. And maybe Nikki's job is going to get a little harder because their guilt card no longer works on us. When you start telling us to prioritize your family over our own, it's never going to work. It has nothing to do with cruelty.
No, but
it just jacked our property taxes an insane amount of money. Some of us saw 35% to 50% increases in our taxes. And no, you're going to tell us that we're cruel because we don't want to increase them more?
Well, yeah, it's not a good post, I wouldn't say. But here's, I think here's what's
He's
going.
He's the director of communications that we pay $100,000 to do that job plus benefits, Scott.
Right. But
now, that's $100,000 that could be going to services for the DD community. The people that actually provide these services are lucky to make $15 to $20 an hour, and Nikki Workman's raking in $10,000 plus a month.
Right. Well, here's what I think happens in situations like this. I believe, and I've said this before, I don't know how this is ever going to be remedied, and I'm sure it goes on to some degree in other communities, but we certainly have a bad case of it here in Marion, is there are things that are, I think, groups like that. I'm not saying they're intentionally meant to be negative, but I think groups like, it sounded to me like she felt under attack, that she felt that her group is represented in a way that they're just blowing money, and they're not blowing money, and that's why she...
You can't even ask questions about it. I mean, but when we do, all we did was say, hey, why are your salaries so high? Well, these people deserve these salaries. And don't you know how much people in director positions make in the private sector? Yes, people in director's positions do make this kind of money, but we're talking about government jobs. We're not talking about the private sector.
Well,
and they don't like those questions.
Well,
and, you know, when we start asking those questions, well, we're just being cruel. No, we want to make sure that the $1 million you're spending on admin couldn't be spent serving the people that actually need it.
No, I think those questions are fine, and I think there's certainly not a problem. There's not a problem asking those questions.
And a 10-year levy, that's pretty insulting, especially with what they just did with our property taxes. And the woman who's the head of the board that's in my comment sections, well, if you just want to have a conversation, I said, did you ever think that, I mean, did this ever cross your guys' minds that maybe we did educate ourselves and we just don't like what you're selling? Is that a possibility?
Well, it could be, but I do think, you know.
No, it is possible, Scott, that we're able to educate ourselves and disagree with them. That's just what they don't get.
Well, it is, but also we have learned that in Marion, that people will put things out, and I don't know what their feeling is on this, that people will put things out with not a whole lot of description or contacting of these groups, which nobody has to. There's no rule that says you have to get their statement on why this is a problem. And I do think it's created a rather divisive nature in Marion, and obviously her post there was divisive. And I think that is one of the problems we have going on here. I mean, that's what I was talking about with concession speeches. You know, I got Ben's concession speech, his victory speech yesterday. Fine, normal victory speech. I read Stephen Wolf's concession, seemed rather normal. I read Jason Schaber's, seemed rather normal. Everybody seemed rather normal. And then I read Wesleyan's.
Yeah.
And we're talking the biggest
pair. Her tears were so salty. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's just basically, you know, they were out to get me from the beginning, $800,000 and so on and so forth. And I think, now why did you have to put that in there? You know, it may be true, a lot of money might have been spent against you, but why are you not on the inside? What are the big differences between you and Ben Weber? Why was this guy who's, you know, he all the knocks on him, he's so much younger, he doesn't know what he's doing.
Newcomer, brand new on the scene.
Yeah, all this.
And city councilman.
Well, why was he able to beat you so handily? Not even close. So, why come out the very next morning and be sour grapes about it? Why not just thank your volunteers who very much did support you? Why don't you thank all those people who gave you endorsements? Why don't you thank, you know, the people in your area and just leave it at that? Why do you have to take a parting shot? Those shots are what make people angry. That's why. People.
And we'll remember in 2 years when she surfaces again.
Right, so I don't understand why people do that.
It plays to her base.
Well, yeah,
her
but what is her
That's
base at this point?
That's all she has left.
Well, she lost base between the first race and the second race.
That's all she's got left now.
Yeah, but now
the Rome Township.
But now her name has become synonymous, obviously, with somebody who doesn't win elections, and her name has become synonymous with somebody who is running not so nice campaigns. And you know,
now to hear her followers tell the story, all the attack ads were against her. Ben is a dirty liar. He lied and cheated his way into this office.
But isn't that an attack?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, this election was also rigged. I read that.
Rigged?
Stolen. Stolen and rigged.
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha.
86th District in Ohio is big money, dark money conspiracy to steal it from Wesleyan because she's just such a force to be reckoned with that she was going to go just turn Columbus on its ear.
Well, I will say this, and I don't talk about the intricacies of private conversations, but, you know, one of the conversations I have had with a lot of candidates, I will never tell somebody how I vote, even in private, and I will not tell somebody that, I will not guarantee somebody that I will vote for them. But when I talk with candidates off the record, and they ask me my opinion on something from being in the media for a long time, one thing I always say is, I say, you know, try to be as positive as you can, especially if your campaign is seen as negative or has been seen as negative in the past. And if you can't do that, then in this area, that's not going to work. They all want to be Donald Trump. And the problem is... You can do that on the national level because the majority of people who vote for Donald Trump will never meet him. You can't do that on the local level because people met Ben Weber. People met Stephen Wolf. People met those people. And they will also meet
And they
you.
Knew they were likable guys, yes.
Yes, so even if they weren't going to vote for them, you were saying things that were so harsh and so nasty that it's just a complete turnoff on the local level when you do stuff like that. And I don't know why... What local divisive candidate has won? Give me one candidate who was absolutely divisive and just... As awful as could be to their opponent and ended up winning the election. I can't think of any. Because that's usually why. Look at this last commissioner's race. Hardly any negativity, honestly, certainly on social media or any other place. And look what happened. You know, the results were the results. And I don't know that the results were anything anybody expected.
No.
But you know what? You don't get so alienated that you have to leave events and you can't be in the same room with people. And you know, I know all the stuff that goes on behind closed doors where people get angry and they call up parties and they say, hey, you need to do this, you need to do that, why are you doing this, why are you doing that? That attitude does not play with people. And again, I don't know why it just can't be with Nikki Workman, Weslyn Davis, and anybody else who's written a speech like that in the last couple days in which they were not successful on election night. Why can't you just say, I thank my people, I thank all the people.
People have spoken.
Yes, I support the person who won. Congratulations to them. And, you know, better luck next time. If you want to continue.
You know, and in the instance of the levy, what Delaware County did was perfect. We heard you, and I think Delaware's was really close. It was like by less than 1% or something like that. And they came out and did the mea culpa, not the, oh my God, what's wrong with you people? Why couldn't we just get 50 more people to vote yes? But, you know? And
well,
it was, if we come back at this again, we're going to do it thoughtfully. We're going to get input from the community. We're going to blah, blah, blah. And RDD board, educate yourselves. What's wrong with you people?
Well, you know, negativity doesn't work. Negativity doesn't work in any stretch of life. If you don't have, and I've been saying this for years now, if you don't, whatever field you're in a local setting, if you don't have some degree of likability, you're going to be in trouble. And you cannot continue. Look at all the people who have used attacking to try to win, because I can think of a few of them. I don't want to rattle off the names right now because, you know, why dig up old stuff? But they don't do very well. When they're out there attacking and they're trying to be Donald Trump and they're out there just fighting, they don't end up doing very well. They don't end up doing very well at all because you don't want to think that somebody in your community is that bad. And a lot of times you know that person.
I've the phenomenon that you're speaking of, I've asked Ralph Smith and Twyla Lang and all these other people, well, we agree with what you're saying, but we don't like your approach. Well, did you vote for Donald Trump? Yes. Well, then what's wrong with my approach? Because I'm far more subdued than he is.
Well, and you know what I think it probably is? I can't speak for them, but I think it probably is if something is said negative about somebody they know personally, they probably don't like that.
Exactly.
And, right, but they don't know Donald Trump personally, and they don't know the people he's
but
talking about.
But they've met Ben Weber, and they'll all talk and say, snot-nosed little brat. I saw that about him so many times. Little snot-nosed little blah, 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 and, you know, now, I don't know if we all know this or not, but Ben will actively be seeking to take our guns from us if he is elected. So.
Yeah, but, you know, they knew he was winning. That was the problem. They knew he was winning. When that happens...
No, some of them really seemed legitimately shocked going through his comment section, reading them.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
In their misery.
Did you see a Ben Weber supporter laying into Wesleyan?
No.
Okay, there you go. So
no, I think it was her supporters that were the most vocal.
Right, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And the people who endorsed her, a lot of people who are, in my opinion, very nice, good people, I think if you got them in a private room and said, do you support the things that were being said? Do you support a lot of that negativity? I don't think they do. I think they probably, like my experience with her, when I had dinner with her, it was fine. She's a nice person at dinner. She that's not her. I don't even think that's really her. I don't think she likes running those attack ads. I don't think she likes lashing out at people. I don't think she likes it. I think she thinks that's how a campaign should be run. And there are people in her ear. Somebody
well,
is helping her out.
Two of them now. So apparently, hopefully, before she goes any further into debt, she realizes this is not.
Oh, she lost two of her. Who'd she lose?
No, two.
Oh, last two elections. I got
two elections. Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Since
and I hope
two
she
hopefully, like, if she goes round three, she rethinks her stance on what
well,
her approach.
And to be honest with you, I had. I don't remember when we had that dinner, but it was probably it was very
early.
Like
blackmailer.
Well, she did that. Well, that's what I say.
That's her true character.
Well, that's when I noticed that things were not going to be good for her. But I think we had dinner before Ben got in the campaign, to be honest with you. So it was prior to last summer. And, you know, that dinner, I thought that this was a different person than ran against Tracy Richardson. I thought that, you know, there was going to be a different tact taken. And, unfortunately, I think there was for a long time.
Maybe there was, and then she had another turning point where she was, like, maybe she tried to turn over a new leaf and she went back to her old ways. I don't know how.
Well, I'll say this. Ben got in July, and I really didn't hear anything particularly nasty, probably till December or January. So I think something happened, and from then on out, it just got worse and worse and worse and worse, and it went right down the rabbit hole, and whoever was advising her, I think that's really who she should be looking at. Who did she take election advice from? Because she lost worse this time than the time before. And as I've said before, I think she's driven, I think she's determined, and she probably would do very well in office because I think she'd be a hard worker. But she has got to surround herself with people who are more into building bridges than blowing mm-hmm. them up.
And, you know, I want to actually give a little shout-out to Bill Collins. Oh, my God, believe it or not.
Oh, here we go.
He took the right approach in this race and didn't endorse anyone.
He stayed out.
He knew he was going to have to work with either of them, regardless of who won.
He stayed out.
That was the smart thing to do.
Smart move on his behalf. Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care, Scott.
All right. Hey, we got to go to break. We'll be back right after this.
My mouth, I like that. And I think you're a fair reporter.
Streaming live on the internet at WWGA.